present on this Sunday morning. I trust that we have worshiped God from the heart already this morning as we have opened our mouths in song and in prayer, as our minds have gone back to that scene on the cross of Calvary, and we can see the eternal love and the eternal foresight and wisdom, the grace, the mercy, the forgiveness, all of those things that are available to us through Jesus Christ there at the cross. I hope that you have brought your Bible with you this morning, and we will be opening God's Word as we listen to the Word of God this morning, and the things hopefully that we have to say today will be of help to all of us and help us to be the kind of people that God wants us to be. Appreciate the songs that Brother Kevin led for us and the words that Brother Kevin Massengill had for us at the Lord's table this morning. In many ways, what he had to say is going to relate directly to our study today. Our congregational theme for this year, of course, has been sowing and growing the seed. You might remember, if you were present back all the way in January, which seems like a long, long time ago now, that we began this year by studying the parable of the sower from the gospel accounts. And as we looked at that parable, we asked a very important question, a very personal question, and that question was, what has happened to the seed? What is it doing in our life? What is it producing within our heart? Since that time, we have thought about sowing the seed in just numerous sermons and even many of our Bible classes and articles in the bulletin and those kinds of things. We have thought, at least I have preached some sermons on sowing by showing, by our example, the life that we live, that we can sow God's seed. We thought about from that the book of Acts chapter 17 about sowing the seed in the same kind of environment and culture that Paul sowed it in there in the city of Athens, sowing the seed in a godless generation such as ours. We thought about pointing people to Jesus and the importance of that from John chapter 1. We have thought this year about praying for the growth of the seed as we have been out there in our world sowing the seed, that we not just are busy with that work, but we take the time to pray for those seeds that have been sown. We have thought about sowing collectively and doing that together as a team, not just as individuals scattered here and there. And then recently, I believe last month, we thought about being fruitful and multiplying the seed and the importance of that. Today, we are going to end the year at least with our theme somewhat where we began, by thinking about the importance of listening to the seed and living the seed in our life. As we pointed out in that first lesson, as Jesus, I think Luke in his accounting of the parable of the sower makes it very clear that the seed is the Word of God. And so we want to think about listening to the Word of God and living the Word of God in our day-to-day lives. This morning we are going to turn our attention to the idea of listening. Tonight we will think about living. As we do that, I want us to go to the book of James. James is one of my favorite books. It is a short book, but it's a very practical book. And perhaps it appeals especially to me because I'm a very practical person. But it gets down to our level. It gets into our day-to-day lives, and that's what we're going to think about for a while this morning and this evening. If you have your Bible, I would invite you to open there to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And let's begin at verse 19 and read down through the end of this chapter. James says, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. This morning we're really going to focus on verses 19 through 21, again, as we think about listening to the Word of God. And as we begin that discussion this morning, I want us to begin really where James begins in verse 19. He talks to us at this opening verse of this thought about our universal need to listen to the Word of God. I'm sure most of us, if we have any association with the Word of God at all, as I think in this audience we all do to some degree, that most of us have heard maybe all of our life what at least part of verse 19 quoted, being quick to hear, being slow to speak and slow to anger. And there are some who have looked at what James says to us there in verse 19 and have seen those three instructions as kind of having a general application to our life. I believe that as we look at other places in the Bible, especially as you go back to the book of Proverbs and you look at the wisdom that is found there in the Old Testament, that there are a lot of things that are said to us in the book of Proverbs and even Ecclesiastes about being quick to hear, about being slow to speak and slow to anger, that can have application generally to our life. I don't really think that is the case here with James. I believe he is speaking to us here specifically about our relationship to God and our relationship to the Word of God, that when we come before God, when we come to God's Word, when we open God's Word, that we come with these attitudes, that we are quick to hear, that we are slow to speak, that we are slow to anger. As you look at the context here in James chapter 1, I believe that makes that point very clear. Starting back with verse 18 and continuing at least all the way to verse 25, James repeatedly speaks of God's Word. He calls it by several different descriptions. In verse 18, he describes it as the Word of truth. Verse 21, that Word, that seed again, that is to be planted deep within our hearts. Verses 22 and 23, he just simply refers to it as the Word, that we are to be doers of the Word. And then in verse 25, he calls it the perfect law. It is the law of liberty. So James, as he's writing here, these three instructions that we'll get to in a few moments in verse 19, I believe he is writing them in a specific context. And he's saying when we come to God through His Word, this is the kind of attitude that we need to have in order to properly receive the Word of God into our heart and to live it within our life. While the instruction that James gives, as he mentions there in verse 19, is to his beloved brethren, I want us to be impressed with the fact that it was not just for them. It is for us too today if we are Christians. Nor was James writing to some kind of special class of Christians. What he has to say here is applicable to all of us, whether it was Christians in the first century, whether it is for us today in the 21st century. As James tells us once again at verse 19, that everyone must be these things. There are no exceptions. And so this morning, if you are a Christian, a child of God, what James says applies to you. And that's kind of what I like about the book of James, that it is all applicable to us as individuals. It's applicable to me, it is applicable to you. So as we read all of the Bible, but especially this little book here, we don't need to be thinking, well, my husband or wife needs to hear this, they need to do this. The person sitting on the seat beside me this morning needs to listen to this or live this way. We need to take these words to heart and really meditate upon them ourselves and then apply them to our own lives. All of us, of course, need to listen to the Word. But as we listen to God speak to us through His Word, we need to listen in a certain way, with a certain attitude. So how should we listen? In fact, as James says once again to us there at verse 19, everyone must be. How must we listen if we are children of God? There are three musts that we want to think about for a few moments this morning. The first of those found in verse 19 is that we must be quick ready to hear. The idea of being quick to hear is that idea of being eager, that we are ready, that we are excited, that we are receptive to hear God speak. And we are not just eager to open His book and to hear what He has to say from the standpoint of we can memorize that or we can spit that out to someone else necessarily, but we are receptive to God's Word. We are ready to hear what God has to say to us with a view toward understanding His Word and then applying His Word, doing His Word within our life. If we do not come to the Word of God with this kind of attitude, with this kind of ear, an ear that is eager and ready to hear Him speak, I suggest to you, as James really tells us, as the whole Bible tells us, that we will never truly hear what God has to say. We have a problem with listening in our human relationships, don't we, sometimes? Sometimes those of us who are husbands and wives, our spouse is speaking to us, maybe telling us something very important, maybe something that is crucial, something that we really need to know, and our mind is somewhere else. We're not really listening. Maybe we're hearing those words. Maybe they are audibly, they are going into our ear and even perhaps going through our brain to some extent, but we're not really listening. We're not focused. We're not ready at that particular point for whatever reason to hear our husband or wife speak to us. Sometimes those of us who are parents, when we come in from maybe a long day at work, and the first thing, if we have little children especially, they're running up to us and they want to tell us everything that's been going on in their day, and we just need a few minutes to kind of have some quiet time and to get our minds in gear so we can listen to them. But maybe they're telling us something very important. Sometimes children don't listen to parents. Yeah, we hear what our parents are saying, but we're not really processing the information. We can be the same way as it relates to God and His Word. We're hearing, in one sense, what God has to say to us, but we're not really listening. Why is it important that we be quick to hear? Why does James say to us that we must be quick to hear? I want us to go to the Old Testament book of wisdom, the book of Ecclesiastes, for just a moment. We're going to be looking at a couple of passages here in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. You might want to place a marker or put your finger there, as we'll come back to it in just a moment. But the wise man here in the first two verses of this chapter gives us some important information, some things that we need to remember, that we need to do as we come into the presence of God and as we're thinking today about coming before Him in His Word. The wise man says to us in Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 1, "Guard your steps as you go to the house of God, and draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil." It is interesting, as the wise man says to us and instructs us there, that as we come before God, as we come to His house, as it were, that we are to come ready to listen. That word, that Hebrew phrase, or what is translated into our English to listen, is from the same Hebrew word as obey. In fact, I don't know, I didn't take the time to look at all the translations, but there might be a translation that translates it that way, that as we come to the house of God, we need to come to obey. But I believe the wise man is making the connection that James really is making for us here in James chapter 1. There is this connection between listening and living. Because if we do not truly listen to the Word of God, we cannot live the Word of God in our life. The New Living Translation, which I don't recommend at all, translated it this way, this particular phrase in verse 1. I like the thought of it. It says, "As you enter the house of God, keep your ears open and your mouth shut." We need to come with a ready ear, with an open ear, with a receptive ear. We need to come to listen to what God has to say to us when we open His Word, rather than coming wanting to tell Him something. The book of Deuteronomy, there is a statement that is made here that I think is worthy of our consideration along these lines. Deuteronomy chapter 11, beginning at verse 26. Moses, as he is about to depart this earth, is giving, of course, some final instructions to God's people in this book. And he says to them in verse 26, "See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I am commanding you today, and the curse, if you do not listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I am commanding you today, by following other gods which you have not known." The word "listen" here is, that is the way the New American Standard translators translated that Hebrew word, is also translated "obey" in several other translations. As I looked at that particular word, it gave both definitions. It is the idea again of listening, that we have that ready, receptive ear to God's Word, because if we don't do that, if we don't come with that attitude to the Word of God, we're not going to obey God. And notice Moses, as he often does, just lays it out here very plainly before the Israelites, the people of God. He says, if you want to be blessed in your life, if you want to experience God's blessings, you must listen. You must listen with the ear to obey. But if you want cursing, if you want things to go badly in your life, then you can choose not to listen. The choice is yours. It begins by having that attitude of being quick to hear. Jesus said something about this, something that until not too long ago I had overlooked. In Mark chapter 12, you might remember the lawyer, the scribe that came to Jesus and asked him that question of, what's the greatest, what's the foremost commandment in the law of God? And listen to the answer that Jesus gives. I think most of us know that. But Mark really goes back to the original saying there back in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. And he puts a few words in here that Matthew does not record in his account of this conversation in Matthew 22. Here in Mark chapter 12 and verse 29, Jesus answered, "The foremost is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." We all know what Jesus says to us next there at verse 30 and 31 about the fact that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, with every fiber of our being. But notice where Jesus begins, at least in Mark's recording of this answer. Jesus begins the first and foremost commandment with the word "hear." That's what Moses had said to the people of Israel back in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. If we are not listening to God, if we do not hear the truth first and foremost, if the Israelites didn't first and foremost hear the truth about who God is, that He is the Lord, that He is our Lord, that He is one Lord, we will not love Him with all of our being. And thus, if we don't love Him with all of our being, what does Jesus say about that in the Gospels? We're not going to obey Him. If you love Me, you will keep My commandments. Depending upon what translation you have, as you read through the Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, some 6 to 8 times Jesus says to His audience, it was different audiences on different occasions, but several times He says throughout the Gospels some very important words that we might overlook. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. It seems like such a simple thing. Why would Jesus even need to say that? Certainly, as people were listening to Him, they would be impressed with what He was saying. If they truly were followers of His, if they truly believed that He was the Messiah as He claimed to be. But Jesus makes the point even there, I think, toward the end of that first parable, the parable of the sower. He says, you have need to listen. If you have ears to hear, you really need to hear. But how often do we not really listen to God as we hear Him speak to us through His Word? A failure to do so certainly gets us into all kinds of trouble, doesn't it? We see that in the life of the Israelites because they didn't listen. They did not obey. So it is for us. Listening with an eager, attentive ear to God speak in His Word, James tells us back in James chapter 1, is a must for us if we are going to come with the proper attitude, the proper heart, and if we are going to truly receive God's word into our life. The second must there, also from verse 19, we must be slow to speak. Go back again to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, and this time look at verse 2. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 2. Solomon follows up the thought of verse 1 with verse 2, and he says, "Do not be hasty in word or impulsive in thought to bring up a matter in the presence of God, for God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few." The wise man says to us, because of this relationship that does exist, because God is the master, because He is in heaven, and because we are the servant, because we are on earth, we must be slow to speak. It's not the idea that we, like myself, grew up in the South, and people accuse us of having that Southern drawl. We just kind of draw things out, and we're slow to speak sometimes. That's not really the idea. As James says, we are to be slow to speak. It is more the idea that we are to be slow to start speaking. And when perhaps we do open our mouth and we do speak to God, that we must not say too much. Our words must be few because of who He is and because of who we are. You know, if we are not careful, we can come to God's Word with our own words. We can come to God's Word with our own ideas about things, rather than coming again with this open, attentive ear, rather than coming listening truly to what He has to say. Sometimes we can start talking too much, and we can start talking too soon. Again, as we think about our earthly relationships, we see that is the case sometimes, don't we? And usually when we do that, we get ourselves into trouble. Also, when we hear God speak through His Word, and maybe we don't really like what He has to say, what we are hearing, we might have the tendency to kind of interrupt His speech, as it were, and say to Him, as we're reading something in the Word that really doesn't set too well with us, or we think, surely He doesn't mean that. We may kind of say, we may not audibly say these words, but as we read the Word of God, we may be thinking in our mind, "Now wait a minute, Lord. Surely You don't mean that. Surely You don't want me to do that." We can begin to argue with God over what He has said to us. Being slow to respond to God's words with our own words, James tells us here in James chapter 1, is also a must for us to receive His Word into our heart and life. The third must from verse 19 is we must be slow to anger. I want you to go to the book of Isaiah for just a moment. That prophet had, again, kind of like the wise man in Ecclesiastes, had some things to say here. It may not just necessarily apply to coming to the Word of God, but just our attitude toward God as we come into His presence, as we think about Him, as we hear Him speak to us through His Word. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 15. As God, through Isaiah, is warning His people here. He says in verse 15, "Woe to those who deeply hide their plans from the Lord, and whose deeds are done in a dark place, and they say, 'Who sees us?' or 'Who knows us?' You turn things around. Shall the potter be considered as equal with the clay, that what is made would say to its maker, 'He did not make me,' or what is formed say to Him who formed it, 'He has no understanding'?" Keep that thought in your mind. Go to chapter 45 and verse 9. Another statement of woe that Isaiah issues to the Lord's people. He says, "Woe to the one who quarrels with his maker, an earthenware vessel among the vessels of earth. Will the clay say to the potter, 'What are you doing?' or the thing you are making say, 'He has no hand?'" Isaiah was warning God's people of old. He is warning us today to be very careful. Be very careful about how we respond to God. He is also telling us, I think, in these two texts, that it really does not make much sense for us. We are the created clay. It does not make sense for us as being the created to be quick to speak to the potter about anything, much less for us to speak words, as we sometimes do, of complaint, or arrogance, or anger. without hearing God speak first. We need to hear God. When God says something in His Word that we really don't want to hear, we often become angry. We may not necessarily verbalize that anger, but in our minds we may become angry at God. There is a great example of this in the book of Jeremiah, the next book over in your Bible, in chapter 36. As we read here about the king Jehoiakim, and Jeremiah had written the words of God on a scroll. He had handed them to another prophet, and that man had taken them to read in the hearing of the king. And let's notice the response of Jehoiakim when he heard the word of God being read. Verse 20, "So they went to the king in the court, but they had deposited the scroll in the chamber of Elishama, the scribe, and they reported all the words to the king. Then the king sent Jehudi to get the scroll, and he took it out of the chamber of Elishama, the scribe. And Jehudi read it to the king as well as to all the officials who stood beside the king. Now the king was sitting in the winter house in the ninth month with a fire burning and the brazier before him. When Jehudi had read three or four columns, the king cut it with a scribe's knife and threw it into the fire that was in the brazier until all the scroll was consumed in the fire that was in the brazier. Yet the king and all his servants who heard all these words were not afraid, nor did they rend their garments." Are we sometimes like Jehoiakim? I don't know that any of us would necessarily get our scissors or our knife out and start cutting up the Word of God, or we would take this book that is God's Word and we would toss it into our fireplace. And sometimes, in effect, that's what we do. When we read things that we do not like, when we hear God speak and we don't like what we are hearing, we can dismiss what He has to say. And we can say, I'm not going to be guided by that. I'm not going to be restricted by that anymore. Warren Wiersbe made a great comment as we think about this characteristic, this attitude of heart, that we must be slow to anger as we come to the Word of God. He said, like the man who broke the mirror, and we'll go on this evening to talk here in James 1 about the Word being a mirror spiritually, like the man who broke the mirror because he disliked the image, and people rebel against God's Word because it tells the truth about them and their sinfulness. There are lots of people I know out in the world. Even if you quote one verse of God's Word to them, they immediately become angry. Are we that way sometimes? James says to us back in James chapter 1, don't do that. We need to be slow to anger, because anger, our anger, is counterproductive. It does not produce, he says to us there in verse 20, the righteousness that God requires. It is not going to produce anything that is of value as far as our relationship to God is concerned. Being slow to become angry with God over what He has said is a must for us. In fact, we must not become angry. We must have those good and honest hearts that the parable of the sower speaks to us about. Finally, as we think about those three musts, there are three hindrances in verse 21. To truly receiving the Word, to really listening to God's Word. Here in this verse, James lists for us three types of interference, we might could say. And we know about interference again in our human relationships. But these are three types of interference that may prevent us from hearing God. And thus, if we don't hear God, again, we cannot do what He has told us to do. Verse 21, he says the first type of interference is filthiness. This word denotes things that are morally filthy, morally dirty, being defiled morally. That could be lots of things, of course. There are many passages we could think about, maybe you're thinking about this morning, that could relate to things that are morally filthy. But just a few that I want to bring to your attention. Filthy language. that is all around us. Some of you may have to work around that every day. Hopefully we don't have to live around that kind of environment in our family. Sometimes that is in our work environment, that's in our school environment, that's just in the people of the world that we are around, that perhaps we can't physically get out of that situation at that moment in time, and yet we are to not have that in our life. Filthy language is that which is not pleasing to God. Dirty jokes. Not just what people might say to you, but even texting now on social media. We need to watch those things and the things perhaps that we put before our eyes as we sit down to watch TV or we look at our computer screens. Sexual content. It certainly falls under this category of things that are filthy and dirty. All of those things and many more, James says, can be a deterrent to us. And notice what James tells us there at verse 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness, we are to get rid of all that stuff. We are to get rid and we must get rid of all filthiness so that we can receive the Word of God. If there is filthiness that is of a moral kind, that is in our heart, that is in our mind, that is in our life, that is going to put up a barrier to us receiving the Word of God. Related to that is wickedness, he mentions there in verse 21. Robertson says this word can mean just general filthiness, like we talked about, or naughtiness. Or, Thayer says, in a more specific sense, it carries with the idea of having malice in our heart or ill will towards someone. Whether we think about that as just a general word, kind of like filthiness, or whether we think about that specifically, James again says that we are to put away all that remains of wickedness, the New American Standard says. The ESV says we are to put away rampant wickedness. The New King James says an overflow of wickedness, an abundance of wickedness. All that remains of wickedness, that word remains, means a residue. The wickedness there says remaining over in the Christian from his state prior to conversion. I don't know that it just has to be prior to conversion, but it may be some kind of wickedness that is still in our life, even as a child of God. Of course, there are many things that could fall into this category, many different passages that we could look at along these lines. One that I thought of that we need to read probably more often than we do, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 3. Peter says, "For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatry." Anything that the Bible describes as being a work of the flesh could fall into this category of things that are wicked. We must get whatever is wicked out of us, James says, so that we can truly listen and receive God's Word. In James chapter 4, James says to us there that we are to draw near to God and He will draw near to you. But as we come to draw near to God, and one way that we draw near to God, obviously, is by letting Him communicate with us through His Word. James says as we do that, we are to cleanse our hands, we are to purify our hearts. The third hindrance to truly hearing God speak is pride. James tells us there at verse 21, as we put aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, we are to receive that word, that seed implanted in humility. We are to do that with a meek and gentle heart and spirit. This idea of receiving God's word in humility or with meekness is the idea of, as we come to the Word of God, we have ourselves under control. We have our desires, we have our passions, we have our goals, all of those things under God's control. Once again, James chapter 4, and this time verse 10, again, as we are trying to draw near to God, as we are trying to become close to Him through reading His Word, through knowing His mind, James says we come with this spirit in verse 10, that we are to humble ourselves in the presence of God. And if we do that, He will exalt us. We must come with this humble attitude, not this attitude that I already know everything. Why do I need to listen to you? But we come with the attitude that we don't perhaps know. Or if we know, we're not living what we know, as we'll speak of this evening. We come with a humble, contrite heart. We must come with humility, receiving the word implanted in humility, among other things, means realizing that God knows what is best for us. We come before Him realizing that we need to listen to Him. We're not the experts. We're not the Creator. He is. Listening to God speak to us through His Word is of vital importance, because we can't do what we have not heard. As we close our lesson this morning, let me ask each of you, are you listening? Are you really listening to God? Our song of encouragement and invitation this morning is number 592. Are you ready to meet God? Well, the first step to being ready is to listen. Are you hearing God speak? But it doesn't end there, of course. We've got to do what we hear. Are you a Christian this morning? A follower of Jesus Christ? Jesus said to us, among other things, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Do you believe that? Are you willing to act upon that belief and make Him your Savior and your King? You can come into a relationship with Jesus Christ this morning if you're willing to come and confess your faith that He is the Christ, the Son of God. If you're willing this morning to repent of your sins and to be baptized with Him, have all of your sins washed away. As Christians, we've done those things. But are we really listening to Jesus? Are we really listening to the Word of God? Is it making a difference in our lives? Or have we made a choice that is outside of God's Word? Have we sinned against Him? If that is the case and we let that sin remain, we're not ready to meet Him. But because of God's love and His mercy and grace, we can seek forgiveness of those sins as well. To confess those sins, to repent of those sins, and to turn back to Him. Let's all leave the building this morning being ready to meet Him. There's not a reason why we shouldn't. But if you need to respond to the invitation of the Lord, we would encourage you to do that now as we stand and as we sing.